you know what? There's something about the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. I think the Holy Spirit just, if you're new and you say, what in the world just went on? See, sometimes the Holy Spirit, let me say it this way. You don't have to defend the Holy Spirit. So don't think I'm trying to defend the Holy Spirit. Humanity trying to defend the Holy Spirit is like me trying to defend a lion. All you have to do to the lion is let him out of the cage. He'll defend himself. Amen. Come on, he'll do things that you can't really explain. And that's what the Holy Spirit, he moves sometimes in manifestations. There's periods of time where he just deposits. As a matter of fact, the word rest, when the Holy Spirit came in the Gospels, there's Luke, Mark, Matthew, John, all four Gospels. When the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove, and it said, and it remained, there's one Gospel that says, and it rested. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11 that it would rest on him. That word rest means to remain, but it also means to deposit. So sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in a place where the atmosphere, and I'm not talking about because the lights are right and the right songs play. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the heart, your hearts. There's a majority of our hearts that are open and saying, Lord, what do you want to do? And we get out of the way, we get self out of the way, and there's a deposit from the Holy Spirit, if you will. And when that deposit is made, it's like you putting the deposit into the bank. It's there. And there's times with the Holy Spirit that there's more of a manifestation, more of a deposit, if you will, because he's always with us. But sometimes there's more of a deposit in an area, an outpouring, if you will, such as the day of Pentecost. There was an outpouring in a particular group of people at a particular time because they had their hearts right, all of the stuff. Now, it's not a formula. It's not a formula. He's God, and he's God all by himself. And so he deposits things. And so I had people come for prayer. This is some who maybe never been into this type of church. But we have people come prepared because the Bible says in James, he says I personally felt that the people I had come up needed prayer for a particular reason. Some that were here that I prayed for, and amen. But the Bible says in James that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. It says to call for the elders of the church. Now we can split hairs for the next 7 years or 70 years on elders. But I believe it's spiritually qualified people to pray. You can be man, woman, or child, whatever. And so we have people come and we laid hands on them. We anoint with oil because the Bible, it's in the Bible. We anoint with oil, lay hands, and pray the prayer of faith. That God will do what only he says he can do. We're not asking God to do anything outside of the realm of what he can do, which, if you're wondering, is nothing. He can do anything. But what his word says, if we pray for healing because he said he heals or whatever you might need. And so I wanted to explain that to you because the Holy Spirit is what's working here now. Jesus is not here with you. He said, if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the agent that you and I, that presence that makes you cry, that makes you want to jump or dance or just get on the floor. It's the Holy Spirit. And so that's when he manifests himself and your heart is opened, you can't help but show some type of emotion because you're made that way. In the soulless realm, you have a mind and a will and emotion. God made you that way. There's nothing wrong with you if you didn't feel the Holy Spirit in this place this morning. You're not unsaved. don't even think that's even a word. Holy Spirit wants to do so much in this house. In Isaiah chapter 11, I want to read something real quick. It says, this is why you need the Holy Spirit. This is why you need the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm not talking about when you get saved, I thought I got everything. Amen. He's part of the triune Godhead. But there's more. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit that I 100% believe is a separate work from salvation, biblically speaking. But watch this. This is why you need the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Jesus was in the flesh, Philippians 2:8. He was in the flesh, Jeremy. He was fully God and fully man, but he set aside divinity while he walked here. He had trials and temptations like you do. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was beaten. He was tired. It wasn't that he had all divinity on him and he didn't feel any of the stripes and any of the pain when he was being beaten for your sins. No, he felt those. That's why he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. When John baptized him to repentance, then the Holy Spirit, he came up out of the water and that dove came down. It was a form of a dove. It wasn't a dove, but a form of a dove and rested on Jesus. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, hear your pastor today, you need the Holy Spirit. Because if Jesus had the habit to walk through life and the trials and the situation, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. You need him vibrant in life. He needs to be driving your bus. It says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest. That means to deposit, to remain. Some of us need a deposit every day. I want him to remain, and then when he remains, I still want him to deposit. And it says that they'll rest upon him, and the Spirit, why you need the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. How many of you need more wisdom and understanding? Not only about the things of God, but how to do life. This world is so messed up. Look, we need a spirit of wisdom to come across this land. We've got a spirit of stupidity, that's just all the word, stupidity, that's being pushed down our children's throats on bathrooms, and whether you're a boy or a girl. We need a spirit of wisdom. You know what? We've talked about the Holy Spirit being so weird for so long, and we backed up from the Holy Spirit. We said, well, we don't want to really talk about the Holy Spirit, and sure don't say Holy Ghost, because that means you're really weird. But say Holy Spirit, and we'll tone it down a little bit. Because the Holy Spirit brings wisdom. How many of you know we've lost wisdom in this country? From the White House to our house. Come on, somebody. Because we got parents buying into this stuff. We need wisdom and we need understanding. This is what the Holy Spirit came. It's prophesied that it would be upon Jesus for wisdom and understanding. God, help us to understand when people are hurting. When people are going through stuff, help us to be sensitive to what's happening in their lives. Then it goes on to say, and the spirit of counsel and might. We need a spirit of counsel, godly counsel given to worldly people. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. We can send you to a secular psychiatrist, and man, that's great. I'm not knocking those things. But where is the godly wisdom from the Holy Spirit that should come out of each one of us for free? Spirit of counsel and might. That word means strength or valor. How many of you get weary and just want to throw in the towel sometimes? Come on, somebody. But the Bible prophesied that this would come on Jesus, that there's going to be a time where he needed strength and valor. I don't know about you, but I've never been whipped on the back, even with a belt. And I'm sorry if you have. But I can't imagine God going through what he went through without the Holy Spirit living inside of him. We need to have strength to get through today. Some of us won't even make it through today without forgetting God, without wondering where God is and questioning God. We need to have it settled in our spirit. We need to have strength from the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I don't know that I believe in all of that. Well, praise God, that's okay. It's still real. John 1:32 says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him, him being Jesus. And verse 33 says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. Watch what it says. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. A deposit, a submersion of his power and his anointing. For what reason, Pastor? Glad you asked. I'll close. Acts 1:8 says it this way. I find two. I know that there's three, but I find two in Scripture reasons for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's probably 102. I'm just telling you that I'm going to tell you three. Number one, I've already told you, because Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need it. So, but now I'm going to show you in Scripture that you need it. Other than, well, I don't know if I need Jesus, what he had or not, but you do. Watch this. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I talked to you about this last week and I can't get away from it. Number one, for power. Power for what? Well, power to pray when you're at home by yourself and nobody's there to pray with you and for you. To pray that God will do what his word says he'll do. Power from the Holy Spirit. When you pray for the sick, they get healed. When you start praying for your lost loved ones, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit draws them in. That kind of power. I'm not talking about a power to pick up more chairs. I'm talking about a power that a power that will draw you or allow you to walk closer to God. Because you know that's a big problem nowadays. We don't want to walk next to God. We want God to be over there, and I want to be over here, and when I need God, I'll move next to him. No, we need power to overcome and resist the enemy that keeps us from moving close to God. Power. Number two. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That word witness means to be a martyr. That really translates to martyr, martyrs. Martyrs were someone who gave their life for the cause of Christ. A martyr would say, I don't care what it's going to cost, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus, even if it costs me my life. And in America, they've got us so spooked to even speak about the name of Jesus in our workplace. And the disciples, all but one, died a martyr's death. And many of the people outside of that died a martyr's death. So we see that the Holy Spirit is for, number one, power. Number two, to be a witness. So let me just let you see if you need more of the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you've witnessed to somebody about Jesus? I'm not talking about inviting them to church. That is not witnessing. That's inviting someone to church. You just ask them, do you want to go to the mall? I'm talking about get down to the heart of the matter and the matter of the heart. That's what I'm talking about. So how's your witnessing going? Now, look, you don't answer. I'm just laying down this straight stick by the crooked stick. So how's the witnessing going? If you're slacking and you know you're slacking, you need the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I was filled a long time ago. I was baptized. Well, you need to rekindle that. You need a redeposit. I have to deposit money in my bank account every week. Why? Because I empty it out. I use it. You need a depositing of the Holy Spirit just to continue. I know He remains, and don't get theological on me. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you need to be stirred up every week with the Holy Spirit. And secondly, you need power. I'm going back to the first thing, power. If you have, answer the question, but not out loud. If you've been struggling with the same thing for 20 years, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because He gives you power to overcome those things that the enemy's put in front of you, that has the stronghold in your life. That's why you need the Holy Spirit for power. Power for what? To overcome, to be an overcomer, to be have a victorious life. And I'm not talking about when you get to heaven. That's a given. Praise God. I'm going to heaven. That's not what's in question here. That's not why you need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. You don't have to have the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. Come on. All you got to do is be saved. But the Holy Spirit helps you while, from here to the time you get there. We need the Holy Spirit, church. It's time we start praying and say, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit alive and active. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want Him alive and well. That's how we're going to reach lost. You do understand that the beginning of the church era, arguably, was at the day of Pentecost. What happened at the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was poured out. He was not as of yet. He was poured out on the day of Pentecost, started the church era. Do you think that we should sideline the Holy Spirit if God started it with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. To say the Holy Spirit's something of old is, I'll say it's heresy almost. No, he founded this thing. The earmark, if you will, of church growth and church increase came from an outpouring of the Holy Spirit when 120 men and women were up in the upper room. Come on, and Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter, a promise, and the promise came to pass, named the Holy Spirit. It's 12:02, I'm going to let you go with a couple of thoughts. It is time that we stop enduring our faith and start being empowered by our faith. And you can only be empowered when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, baptizes you with power. You are powerless without the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says, that you'll receive power. If I've already got it, I don't need to receive it. But if he says you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on, I'm thinking when the Holy Spirit comes, we're going to walk in power. We just endure our faith. We just get through another church service. We get through another Wednesday night. We just get through another day that one of my church members or one of my fellow congregants doesn't walk up on me while I'm saying something or doing something wrong. We got through another day. Oh, that's so petty. When are we going to get past all of that? When are we going to get busy about kingdom business and get over ourselves? Walk in power. We're still trying to get the church saved. Amen. No wonder people are dying going to hell. I love you. I might not be the pastor tomorrow, this afternoon. Just wait till I make the next statement. But while I'm pastor here, all respect to my deacons, while I'm pastor here, we will not, from this day forward, shy away from the Holy Spirit anymore in this church. Come on, somebody. He's going to be front and center and alive and well, and we're going to work in power, and we're going to be witnesses. I was praying this morning in closing right here. And I said, Lord, I shared it with the staff. Lord, what about souls? What's the plan, Lord? What's the plan? I'm a planner, Ralph. I like to know what's going to happen. I want to know the details of how we're going to get this done. Not that we're going to get it. I need to know how we're going to get it done. And so I'm asking the Lord, how are we going to win these souls? I need a plan, Lord. And his response, because I wrote it on my card because I get kind of slow in prayer. One at a time. You know what that just did? You know what that did to me when I was sitting in this, or kneeling in this at this chair, praying? You know what that did for me? It relieved me of pressure of how we're going to win the lost. Watch out now before you say amen. And it transferred it to each one of us. One at a time. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Because you're fixing to be a witness for Christ. Not for this church. Not for the denomination. Not for the pastor. You're going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are lost and going to hell if they don't find Jesus. Period. I love you. Expect a different pastor. I love you. I do. But we have the Holy Spirit on our side. We got to operate in the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Your mother? Amen. What's her name?
Mary.
Mary Bush.
She spent Friday night, part of Saturday, in the hospital in Baytown, Texas. But she passed out there. She went to see her sister.
What's the ailment? They don't know. Heart problems? Okay. Right, Mary Bush, if you will just, will you just agree with me in the name of Jesus? Father, in the name of Jesus, Mary Bush has some physical ailments, one being a heart. Lord, we do not know what it is, nor could we fix it if we did know. But you know, and you're the great physician. So, Lord, between here and there, we ask, Lord, that you would just reach down wherever she is, in a bedroom or a living room or a hospital room, wherever it is right now, and you would touch her. You would heal her body. Not because I said so. Not even because we're praying corporately, but because your word says you're a healer. Because sickness and disease has to bow out of the way at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Heal Miss Mary Bush right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Will you give him thanks that he may be glorified? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've kept you longer than I thought I would keep you, but I'm okay with that. Amen. I'll quit apologizing for that. Never. Amen. Father, I bless the people. I thank you, Lord, for these fine people. Lord, I ask that your face would shine upon us. We would find favor with you and man. Lord, that increase would come our way. Job promotions, prosperity at the level that we can handle it. But Lord, all of these things without peace is chaos. So we ask God with these blessings that you send your peace to rest upon our rooftops. That when we lay down, that we find sweet sleep and our body and mind is restful. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says amen and amen.